We've had a very joyous day. We've had many wonderful and precious blessings today. And now we anticipate another blessing. And Brother Tim Armstrong will now conduct this service. Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Randall, and good evening, brethren. Sister Lois and I certainly rejoice to be here with you at this convention, and we've been looking forward to and the spiritual blessings, and certainly haven't been disappointed thus far. Well, our best for service is one that we can sit back and relax just a little bit, and yet have an opportunity to consider tonight the greatness and glory of Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, and try to do so, at least in some respects, in the context of the convention itself, being content, where we think by reflecting upon His greatness and His goodness, upon His divine plan, having the knowledge and the understanding of that, thinking about His attributes of justice and wisdom and power and love, that all these would go together to help produce in us a strong faith that will not shrink back, but will grow and abound, that will develop into a trusting confidence in God's providential care over us, and in so doing will help us also to receive that godliness with contentment. We are reminded each day that we read our morning resolve, that we, the last part of that, trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providences may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. So our strong faith that we develop, and we do that by an understanding of God's plan and His dealings with us. And so tonight, through readings, through singing, we all like to sing, and we'll have ample opportunity to do that. And through our choral group, we will endeavor to progressively reflect upon the greatness and goodness of God through His natural creation. And then we will think also of His goodness and His mercy towards all of His works. Reflect then upon the salvation to mankind through His willing Son's obedience, His sacrifice even to the death of the cross, to God's purpose in taking out of the Gentiles a people for His name, and therein is where we come into it. For the Apostle Paul has reminded us in Colossians 1:24 that we have the privilege of making up that which is left behind of the afflictions of Christ. And then we will also look to our response to this wonderful invitation. What shall we render unto the Lord? Now we know that it is the intense desire of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, then, after our response, to provide whatever help is necessary for us to fulfill our vow of consecration, to be dead with Christ that we might live and reign with Him. Be thou faithful unto death, and you shall receive the crown of life. As we think back upon the first verse of our opening hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. We have borrowed a few photographs from National Geographic to try to understand the immensity of God's universe, of His creation, is almost impossible with our minds, with our understanding. But we thought we could at least endeavor a little bit to do that. The first slide shows our solar system. The bright golden glow towards the middle on the left side there is our sun, and the earth being on the left, and the planets Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter to the right. Now we would look at that, take that photograph, and place it into its niche in the Milky Way galaxy. Now it's estimated that, and numbers are, when we start talking about these numbers, they're almost incomprehensible, but the Milky Way galaxy is estimated to have 100 billion stars. And it's thought that there would be as many galaxies as there are stars in the Milky Way. Now, if we take that photograph and place it into a larger context with sister galaxies, we see how drastically small we have just become. And if we take that photograph and once more place it into an even larger scope of the universe, we shrink down even more. And if we would then take a look at the four together, we have a little idea of... Now, this is the physical creation, the universe, that makes us seem very insignificant and very inconspicuous. Isn't it a grand and glorious thing that we have to know that our Heavenly Father knows each one of us and desires for the best for us, desires that we would be made over into the likeness of His dear Son and to sit on His right hand of glory as the Son has overcome and sat down next to the Father. We would like to continue our worship by asking Brother O.B. Elbert to read a poem for us, Thou Art God.
From everlasting, Thou art God, the high and lofty one, for Thou alone didst live before creation was begun. Thy wisdom, justice, love, and power as yet had not been known, for in a realm of endless space, there Thou didst dwell alone. Thy glory and Thy majesty didst Thou desire to share, and so Thou didst create Thy Son, none with Him could compare. Then by Thy power and through Thy Son, all things created came, and with one breath they glorified Thy great and holy name. We worship Thee, our Father, God, and Thy beloved Son, who at Thy word fulfills Thy plan. In purpose Thou art one.
Next, we would like to have a poem read by Brother Alan McAllister entitled Silence.
There is a solemn splendor in silent things we see. If we our thoughts surrender from earthly cares, be free. When day is done and darkness falls around us, and all the glory of the heavens we behold, we stand in awesome wonder as we recall those majestic words that David spoke of old. The heavens declare the mighty power of God, and the firmament His handiwork displays. Though not a word nor sound falls on our ears, yet their melody through all the earth conveys to us the wisdom and the power of God. His wisdom speaks to us without a word. In simple silence, He His work performs. Yet throughout all time, their melody has stirred the hearts of humble men to worship Him. Man, with great commotion, seeks to show his strength and the strife and the confusion still increase. But our great God, in simple, solemn silence, has shown to us the majesty of peace. There's a silence in the sunrise and in the morning dew. Can we, in silence, recognize the grandeur of the view? When the fresh, crisp air of Indian summer is warmed by the clear, deep blue of autumn skies, we wonder at the change we see about us. For the green that filled the summer with its guise has silently, yet with boldness unsurpassed, lavished all of nature's brilliance on the fields. Where was the clamor to herald the change of season? Nature works in silence. Her secrets she conceals. But if we listen, the riot of her color shouts aloud and calls to us from everywhere to say that summer days are gone once more, and soon we'll see the snowflakes fill the air. Silence is a word apart, and who can know its worth? We speak in silence, heart to heart. Here wisdom hath its birth. Silence speaks to us much deeper than can words. For there are feelings held within the heart that words cannot express nor tongue can tell. But yet, in simple silence we impart, by just a clasp of hands or loving look, the tenderness we feel for one we love. For words are just devised by puny man, but the power to love comes to us from above. So who could think that man, with all his words, could ever truly from the heart express the love that glows within the human heart? But we can show by simple tenderness, by just a look, or just a loving touch, far more than pen, nor tongue, nor words, nor voice could ever truly tell. For love in action never fails to make a kindred heart rejoice. For silence is as deep as love, as music to the ear, majestic as the stars above, enduring as the year. Silence is a world unknown. We seek her treasures rare. In silence, God to us has shown wisdom beyond compare.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Let us join together in singing now hymn 367, To God Be the Glory. We would like to continue now by having a reading from reprint 1560, Special Divine Providence. Brother Rick Cunningham will read that for us.
The psalmist says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." This sweeping statement takes in the utmost bounds of the material universe, and also the humblest, as well as the most exalted sentient being. The whole creation is his care. Jehovah, our God, is the great emperor of the whole universe, and his wisdom, power, goodness, and benevolence are abundantly equal to all the responsibilities of so exalted an office. The human mind staggers in its efforts to comprehend the mental resources of a being who is able to assume and to bear such responsibility. Think for a moment of the memory that never fails, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the possibility of failure, and the times that plan with unerring precision for the ages to come, of the power and skill which can harness even every opposing element, animate or inanimate, and make them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand designs, of the tireless vigilance that never ceases nor seeks relief from the pressing cares of universal dominion, whose eye never sleeps, whose ear is ever open, and who is ever cognizant of all the necessities and active in all the interests of his broad domains. Well has the psalmist said, in consideration of the immensity and the minutiae of God's providence over all his works, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." No, we cannot. But oh, what a thrilling sense of mingled reverence, love, and adoration fills the heart when thus we catch a glimpse of the intellectual and moral glory and majesty of our God. As we thus contemplate him, all nature becomes eloquent with his praise, the heavens truly declare his glory, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. They tell of the order and harmony of the circling spheres and the benevolent purposes of the great Creator and Controller as the changing seasons and the alternating days and nights fill up the copious horn of plenty and refresh and invigorate the animate creation.
Thank you, Brother Rick. We would like to continue now with a poem read to us by Brother David Kahn, entitled, "The Glory of God Revealed."
The Glory of God Revealed. Great God, who hast forever been, whom through thy word we know, as giver of each perfect gift, to creatures here below. In wonders of thy universe, thy power is not concealed. For day to day and night to night, thy glory is revealed. To prophets and those saints of old, thy might and power were shown. They bowed in awe before thy face, in reverence sought thy throne. Thou art revealed in thy great plan, lost Eden to restore, when all mankind shall live again in peace forevermore. For by thy love thou didst send forth thine only Son to die, that he might pay the debt of sin that o'er the world doth lie. When to the earth thy kingdom comes, thy glory shall be shown, in love revealed to all the world, then shall thy name be known.
Let us sing together now the hymn, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. Brother Tom Kotowski, now to read for us a poem entitled Jesus.
Jesus. The gentle sighing of the wind among the pines, the joyous singing of the lark at break of day, the rippling of the water brooks through cooling shade, the patter of the softly falling rain at night, are sounds less sweet by far than his most precious name. No art can show a form so gracious and so fair, no master's hand hath drawn a smile so sweet, nor could depict the majesty of that pure brow. No canvas ever glowed with such a holy light as shines from his most radiant image in my heart. The dearest earthly friend may fail in time of need, the sweetest and loveliest grow cold at heart. The nearest may not heed the throbbing heart's sad cry, that the gayest throng may hold the loveliest, loneliest solitude. But Jesus, Jesus never fails my call to hear. Oh, may the music of thy name more clearly fall upon my ears attuned to catch that sweetest sound. Oh, may thine image in my heart so bright become that I, by gazing, may be changed into the same. Oh, blessed Jesus, let thy presence ne'er depart. Oh, come and reign forevermore within my heart.
Let us sing now hymn number 134, I My Cross Have Taken.
Thank you.
Haig to come forward now and to read for us from reprint 474, What Shall I Render Unto the Lord?
As the Father loves us, and as we have also the word of assurance that the Savior loves us, what now shall we do in return? What shall we render unto the Lord for all his benefits, his love, his kindness, for the great redemption in which we share with the world, and further for the high calling which we have received to come out of the world and to become joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Ours is a heavenly inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, an inheritance reserved for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. All this is ours. Ours is a new creation. Until this gospel age, there has been no sharing of his level, so to speak. But we cannot lose our way while we follow our guide. And in proportion as you and I appreciate what God has done for us, we surely wish to do something for him. What can we do? You look at yourself and I look at myself, and we say truly and honestly, we are mere bundles of imperfection. We have nothing worthy to offer to the Lord our God. But you did offer, and it was accepted. You have given all that you had, and the Lord has received you. Otherwise, you would not belong to this class at all. The Father loves only those who have made this consecration. They are the only ones that are in the church whose names are written in heaven. You had your will to give. You gave your little all. The Father accepted you and begat you of his Spirit, and that is the reason why you are of God's elect. And that is the reason why you can realize more fully the Father himself loveth you. What shall we render? The things that you are to render and I am to render are the things we consecrated to God, the very same. That was your little all and my little all. But how shall we render our all? In everything, especially in our wills, we should seek to know the Father's will. Whether we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. In other words, my dear brethren, in coming into God's family and making this covenant with the Lord, we have bound ourselves down. He did not bind us. We bound ourselves down, that we would have no will of our own in any matter, that we would do only his will.
We would like to have the lights turned up a little now, and we'll have a choral group sing for us three selections: All of Thee, Under His Wing, and Jesus Grant Us Strength.
Day by day, his tender
next like to ask Brother Jonathan Gray to come up and read for us a poem, My Sacrifice.
My sacrifice, laid on thine altar, O my Lord divine, accept this gift today for Jesus' sake. I have no jewels to adorn thy shrine, nor any world-famed sacrifice to make. But here I bring within my trembling hand this will of mine, a thing that seemeth small, and thou alone, O Lord, canst understand how when I yield this thee, I yield mine all. Hidden therein, my searching gaze can't see struggles of passions, visions of delight. All I have, or am, or fain would be, deep loves, fond hopes, and longings infinite. It hath been wet with tears and dim with sighs, clenched in my grasp till beauty hath it none. Now from thy footstool, where it vanquished lies, my prayer ascendeth. May thy will be done. Take it, O Father, ere my courage fail, and merge it so in thine own will that I may never have a wish to take it back. When heart and courage fail, to thee I'd fly. So change, so purify, so like thine own make thou my will. So graced with love divine, I may not know or feel it as my own, but recognize my will as one with thine.
Thank you, Brother John. We'd like to continue now with having Brother Laddie Stewart read for us, Tell Me About the Master.
Tell me about the Master. I am weary and worn tonight. The day lies behind me in shadow, and only the evening is light. Light with a radiant glory that lingers about the west. My poor heart is weary, aweary, and longs like a child for rest. Tell me about the Master, of the hills he in loneliness trod, when the tears and blood of his anguish dropped down on Judea's sod. For to me lie 70 milestones, but a sorrowful journey mark. Rough lies the hill country before me, the mountains behind me are dark. Tell me about the Master, of the wrongs he freely forgave, of his love and tender compassion, of his love that is mighty to save. For my heart is aweary, aweary of the woes and temptations of life, of the air that stalks in the noonday, of the falsehood and malice of strife. Yet I know that whatever a sorrow or pain or temptation befall, the infinite Master has suffered and knoweth and pitieth all. So tell me the sweet old story that falls on each wound like a balm, and my heart that is bruised and broken shall grow patient and strong and calm.
Let us sing together now hymn number 145, Keep Me, Lord. to read for us a poem, "Your Father Knoweth What Things Ye Have Need Of."
Your Father knoweth what things ye need of. Matthew 6:8. Our Father knows what things we need each step along the way. His eyes of love doth ever sleep. He watches night and day. He knows sometimes, like ripening grain, we need the sunshine bright. Again, he sends the peace that comes with shadows of the night. Sometimes our pride would fain unfurl, ambition's flaunting sail.
Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, from Hebrews 10:35. Do hosts of foes oppose themselves, place obstacles in your way, hinder your influence, and seek to dishearten you by heaping upon you reproaches? And do circumstances seem to conspire against you to fill your heart with alarm and dread? Say to your soul, fear not, hope thou in God, and mark his loving providences as through waves and clouds and storms he gently clears thy way. And tell a blessed acquaintance with God through such experiences develops in the heart that perfect love that casteth out fear. Then shall you enter more and more fully into the blessed rest of faith. And like the eagle that soars above the storm cloud, live at such an altitude of Christian experience as to enable you to rejoice in the Lord always and in everything to give thanks. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. From Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The apostle's argument is that we should hold fast the faith which began our Christian life and which is also to be the finisher of our Christian life. The Lord is able to carry us through, and he will do it if we do our part. But the terms on which the Lord has received us are that we purpose to abide faithful. Hence, everything depends upon our holding fast to this faith which we have professed without wavering, without harboring any doubts and fears. And the basis of our faith is our ultimate triumph, is the assurance that he is faithful that promised. We know that in the Bible there are exceeding great and precious promises for us. If therefore we hold fast to our faith, we may obtain all that God has promised us. He will be faithful. He will not disregard his promises. He will do all that he hath said. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Let us sing our final hymn together, brethren. Hymn number 87, He Leadeth Me.
Thank you.
Now, dear brethren, in conclusion, we would like to ask Sister Estelle Gill to sing for us, "Abide with Me, 'Tis Eventide."